The Tom Woods Show, episode 1664.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
No matter who you are, this message is directed at you. You're overwhelmed with email. You don't know how to handle it. You can never stay on top of it. What do? You use SaneBox, which will help manage your email and get you your sanity back. Visit SaneBox.com/Woods today to start your free trial and get a $25 credit. That's SaneBox.com/Woods. Hey, everybody. Tom Woods here. Delighted to be joined once again by our old friend Eric July, who's a contributor over at Blaze TV. He's also the front man for the metal band Backwards. That's B-A-C-K-W-O-R-D-Z, whose debut album, Veracity, hit number 5 on the hard rock charts. Eric was, of course, also the MC for the 1,000th episode event of The Tom Woods Show live in Orlando. If you never saw that, that's some nice evening entertainment for you, because we had some games and some fun and a roast of me, and it was tremendous. So tomwoods.com/1000 is how you get to watch that. And I wanted to talk to Eric because he's always talking about what is on people's minds. He's very current events oriented, whereas sometimes on the Tom Woods Show, I talk about topics that are more evergreen. Sometimes lately we've been doing a lot more current events, but Eric always has his pulse on what's going on, and he's been talking an awful lot about the issue of George Floyd, police brutality, and the protesters and rioters. So we want to sort all that out today. Eric, welcome back.
What's going on, man? Appreciate you having me again.
Well, I'm sorry it's under these circumstances, but I'm glad to hear about, you know, your success over with The Blaze and how you've been brought in over there, and you're contributing a lot, and that's great. We'll put links up and we'll talk about that at the very end. So congratulations to you. Things are going well for Eric July Incorporated, and that's a good thing for America, I say.
Thank you so much, man. It's been fun. Great opportunities, man, have been coming my way. And more importantly, it's just the megaphones getting bigger.
Yeah.
It's reaching more people. And to me, that's what it's about.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You and I had a semi-forbidden dinner in Dallas last month. Not forbidden by the city, although they ruined the buffet that the restaurant normally has. They brought everything to our table. But there were plenty of people who would have been upset at us for going out and sitting in that restaurant. Meanwhile, there are an awful lot of people going out doing things these days. Nobody seems to be upset about that. So let's
Ain't that something? Rigged game, huh?
So, all right, let's start from ground zero of this particular matter with George Floyd. Mm-hmm. Now, by now, obviously, everybody knows what happened there, right? Everybody knows what happened, but it's part of the story. So tell me that story, and then how long after Floyd's death did we start to see demonstrations, peaceful or otherwise? I mean, how immediate was that? I don't even remember, and I lived through it a few days ago.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those things. Obviously, we all saw the video of three cops. For those that don't know, because I think people look at the guy that was arrested as of, you know, we shot this, was only one guy, and that was the guy on his neck. However, there were two other cops, one on his like torso area and one near his legs, that were pinning him down. And that's also why he couldn't move at all. So you look at that, and you then had the cop that was anybody that looked like they were stepping forward or yelling, saying, you're killing them and so forth. You had the other cop that was pushing them back, telling them to get back and so forth. So you had this situation where it was filmed from a couple of different angles where this man was seemingly slowly killed. And once that got out there, and then, you know, we know that the cops had been at least fired at the time. This is before anybody was arrested. It took like 4 days, I believe, for them to be arrested. We started to see at least a day or so more protests, and it was odd to see it happen so fast, how you could see blue check marks on Twitter that were just egging this on as if they wanted this to be something else as far as people's reaction to it. And the whole boiling, like people treated it like it was a boiling point. And, you know, folks like myself, folks like you have long talked about this institution and what it is and what it's capable of doing. Now, Unfortunately, the conversation immediately went to race because of the fact that he was a black guy and then the cop was white, never minding the fact that I think one of the other cops was, he looks kind of, I don't know if he's, he doesn't have a European last name, let's just say that.
Okay.
And you have another one that was clearly Asian that were all involved in addition, and the whole thing got turned into race immediately. So we started to then see the conversation become about blue versus black or white versus black. And this is why you're seeing the reactions that you're seeing because of that conversation. And I know media folk fan of flames. I know that, again, these blue checkmark fan of flames. And this is why you're seeing random people that had nothing just because their skin tone are getting beat up on the streets because it was escalated by way of them and egged on by way of them. And we unfortunately never got to actually address the core problem here. And that was the state and its aggression. And it's unfortunate. We, you know, you probably know about the Duncan Limp situation. Like, to act like this is an exclusively black thing is childish. Is it? No statistics read that. And certainly there's other situations and instances that it's happening. It was covered, but just not to this degree. But it got limited down to race. And now it's about blue versus black or simply white versus black, instead of understanding that there's an issue with this institution here that has this territorial monopoly, and their agents will ultimately kill you. Now, we talked about this over at Blaze, and even with some roundtable discussion with other conservatives, where even Chad Prather, he brought it up before me. You know, I was the third person to go on this roundtable discussion. He's like, I'm a concealed carrier. I think that's the instance, basically, you pulled a gun out on the cop. And we had been long having this conversation. I'm like, dude, once they understand that they are not above these sorts of acts of aggression, that's when it changes. But this idea that looting or beating up random people or destroying their property is conducive to solving any of that issue, or that that has anything to do with it, is buffoonery. And unfortunately, it's going to get a lot of people's property damage. It's going to get a lot of people hurt. And I think that, to me, is this, you seeing, if you were ever on the fence about the cops, they're not, you see that they're not on your side either. As you just stand around the corner and watch your businesses get blown up, as, you know, the chiefs or the mayors or governors are saying, stand down. You're seeing what time it is. You're seeing what time it is. And I hope people, if nothing else, view this situation as sort of a red pill that had to be really shoved down their throat. And they need to understand that the protection is ultimately on them, of themselves, their family. And to be honest, Tom, I don't see this de-escalating until that effectively happens. And a lot of people understand that this ain't a free-for-all. Just because you're mad or you claim to be mad, I don't know what some pencil-neck white Antifa member throwing a brick through a wig shop, what possibly could he be claiming, you know, so he's so mad about oppression that has him lashing out like he does, but me, the black man, doesn't. I don't understand that. But I really do not see this de-escalating until people are effectively and actively defending their property from these aggressors, no matter who they are, no matter what you do to treat every invasion like it could be a potentially deadly one. And I don't see this de-escalating until people effectively do that and folks understand that this ain't no free-for-all.
All right, a lot to unpack there. First of all, at the end of our conversation, I want to turn to solutions. Like, what are some things that can be done that might actually put a dent in the problem of police misconduct of varying degrees of severity? Because I think people like you and me have much, much more convincing solutions than what we're hearing. In fact, I don't even know, we'll get to that in a minute, about what program are they proposing? What exactly is it they want done? Okay, so you're destroying a lot of things. What would you like to see happen? We'll get to that in a minute. But what frustrates me, I'm glad to hear that on the Blaze, they're willing to think about the police as being a problem. Because what frustrates me about the right wing is that they say, oh, we're for small government and we don't like the commands the government's giving people. However, we love the enforcement arm of that institution. We don't like anything it's doing, but when it enforces those terrible things that it's doing, then we love those people. I don't even understand that. Yep. I've done a bunch of episodes of my podcast. I'll put them on our show notes page today, tomwoods.com/1664, on the police and the problems and what we might do to solve that problem. But I want to now get into an ambiguity on the part of the way, frankly, the left has handled this situation, because I'm hearing two different narratives here. On the one hand, I hear, Riots are the language of the unheard. And, you know, even if it's not the way you and I might indicate our displeasure, at the very least, you can see where they're coming from. You know, that so we get that. Then on the other hand, after you just got done telling me that although we sort of tepidly oppose the rioting, we can see where they're coming from, then they turn right around and say, oh, and by the way, the rioting isn't even their fault. It's being carried out, the fault of the protest. It's being carried out by outside agitators. Well, then why the need to tell me that if you just got done telling me that in some abstract sense, rioting is sort of honorable? Why are you so anxious then to tell me this is being carried out by agent provocateurs? Well, pick one, it seems to me.
Right. Well, and I'm not willing to sit up here and think that that's like the only thing that has something to do with this. Like, even if you see like some guy breaking down windows that looks suspect at an AutoZone, you're not obligated to follow in his steps.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so that's a complete non-point. And again, that's just people wanting to deviate from actually criticizing a bad behavior. Now, I've always said that both are enemies of liberty as far as I'm concerned when it comes to this institution, when it comes to this cops, and when it comes to looters. Like, I'm not forced to choose between that false dichotomy of, if I say something against it, then I, on the other hand, adopt the other position. And that is like I defend cops or something like that. That's buffoonery. That doesn't even make sense. I can condemn both of them. That's not even to say that they're equal. I can condemn both of them, and I can think that both of them are enemies of liberty. And that's not a way to lash out. Under no other human affair, under any other engagement, will we ever accept that, okay, Tom, you punch me, and instead of me punching you back or defending myself from potentially you punching me again, I go blow up my neighbor's house. That doesn't have anything to, what did I do? I didn't do anything. You didn't get punished for that. And this foolishness that we can't just directly address the aggressors is just doesn't make sense. Like I said, the people that had half of any sense were the folks that at least took it to the precincts, but that's not what happened. You had people destroying other people's businesses that had nothing to do with it. The wig shop, the local diner was not who had their knee on that man's neck or anything like that. So,
Do you remember the old days of the war in Iraq, and people were saying, why is George W. Bush attacking Iraq, which had nothing to do with 9/11? And these same people are saying, well, I can understand why you might loot a Chanel store over police brutality. Look, it's the same principle.
And also,
I am shocked at how badly most libertarians are mangling this issue, because I completely sympathize with the issue about police brutality. I'm more radical on the issue of police than anybody who dresses like me has ever been, okay? But
Yep. But
for crying out loud here, I keep hearing from them, I guess I wouldn't engage in this sort of property destruction before, but they're just really angry. These people are really angry, and I get that they're really angry.
Libertarians got this wrong. Like, I'm gonna be completely honest, they got it wrong. I'm not afraid to say that they got it wrong early on. And I'm seeing some people start to sort of change on it because their stupid behinds now see that this on the other side of this, it could potentially be worse. Like, just because, and I say this all the time, just because you and I oppose the same institution in terms of what it is doing, the same person or the same thing, and we're like, what they're doing is wrong, does not mean that we think the solution, we agree on the solution, and it certainly doesn't mean that we want to work towards a freer society. This is why I said I'm not at all optimistic that on the other side of this is going to be better.
Well, especially because if you engage in this kind of behavior, and by the way, I know I'm going to get a lot of people saying, look, I was at a peaceful protest, there's no reason to lump us all together. I'm not lumping you all together. But the fact is, I don't even want to look at what the left libertarians are saying. I don't think I could take it. It would be so nauseating, the way they're trying to make excuses for behavior they'd never excuse in themselves or their friends. But they're going to make excuses for other people's behavior. It's so obvious this narrative is going to strengthen the state, without a doubt. Because at the end, they'll say, this shows you need us more than ever. Who could possibly be so dumb as not to see that coming? And yet, the narrative doesn't even make sense, because during this crisis time, none of us could rely on the police. They're not saving these businesses. They're not protecting your home. They can't protect their own precinct. And yet they are still successfully going to pass off this idea that what just happened means we need to get even tougher. I don't know how anybody fails to see that. I refer to these people, the people who are engaging in of all races, because obviously there are a lot of whites involved here. It's all races.
Yeah, plenty.
I refer to them as the Committee to Reelect Donald Trump. It's almost like he's behind it.
I mean, you got a point, right? I mean, it's going to justify like the strong arm. And that's what they're going to point towards to say, see, this is why we need to maintain this institution. This is why we need to strengthen
exactly.
it.
And one more quick thing. I'm sorry to keep interrupting because I like to hear Eric July riff, yeah. but I'm just thinking that soccer mom who would die 1,000 deaths before telling a pollster she's going to pull that lever for Donald Trump, when she gets in that voting booth and thinks, I don't know what could happen. I don't know if maybe there'll be a bunch of looters coming down my street before you know it. I don't know if I can mm-hmm. count on people who, for the first critical hours, were kind of spinning excuses until they heard that the real line is outside agitators are doing this. But before they decided on that, they were pretty ready to tell me that I sort of had it coming to me. I don't think I can vote for anybody who's even remotely tinged with this. I don't think it's unreasonable to think some people will think that way.
Yeah, look, that's what's going to happen. I mean, people are going to, I mean, there's people that try to present themselves or try to position themselves like as sort of these allies, and they're getting messed up. I was watching, looking at Twitter, and I'm seeing people, I just chick post, oh, I'm so distraught. And she didn't, you know, the business had been, or the building had been, it looked like it had been looted for anything that seemed to be valuable. For sure, the property was damaged. All the glass was broken, the windows and stuff. And she's like, we're a progressive newspaper, you know? And I'm like, you see, they don't care. And if you have folks that are in these positions of power, these politicians who are egging them on or justifying it, how do you not look at them and say, are those the people that I want to support? Are those the people that I want to ally myself with? When even when I try to position myself to be in alignment with them, be in agreement with them, and they still destroyed my property, they still hurt me, they still punched up on me. I mean, you'd be crazy not to, at minimum, reassess the situation. So certainly anybody that's in the middle is going to go the other way, but you may even sway people that were on your side to go the opposite way. I've had numerous amounts of people. I feel like, you know, folk like myself and you, I'm on this island because I'm the only one with some sense that's talking about this. But there have been so many people that reached out to me, man. I wasn't a libertarian before, but man, you know, I was more progressive. I thought this was something to it, but man, I'm seeing all of this play out and it starts to set in, a reality set in. You thought it was just going to be a day of this foolery, and then day two, then day three, and you thought it wasn't going to be your side of town, and then it was your side of town. Look, man, this is getting closer and closer to home, and yes, that's going to impact people's where they lean, definitely when they head to the voter booth in November. And I just hope people realize what's happening, and I don't feel as if we're doing anybody any justice. Doesn't mean whether it's George Floyd, Black Lives, or people that have been against this institution. I don't think that we're doing anybody any justice by pretending as if we have to take the sides of the people that are looting, or we can't even separate people that are peacefully. It ain't even peaceful. It doesn't matter. Like, I'm not going to have to use that term, whether it be peaceful protesting or anything like that. It's one thing to go head on with the aggressor. It's another to take out the innocent. And taking out the innocent is going to get a lot of people shifting the other way. And it's going to, I mean, I told you where I'm at. I don't see this de-escalating until people start defending their property. And again, these people are egging them on because they think it's a free-for-all. But it ain't no free-for-all for sure. And that's definitely, as they start to creep up in these more red areas, there's going to be a problem.
Yeah. And of course, as we've said, when they go to start protecting their property, maybe it'll dawn on them that the police, many of them have been cheering for years and years, are nowhere to be found.
Yep.
They're nowhere to be found. Now, meanwhile, did you hear about this story of Scores Sports Bar in Minneapolis? Does that ring a bell?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
This is unbelievable because this is a guy, a black guy who gets on camera. He's in literal tears about what happened to his business that he poured his life savings into, vandalized and destroyed. So he put up a GoFundMe to raise $100,000. And Eric, as of this moment, he's almost at $1 million. That is
awesome.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think
that's
awesome. Because I think he was probably the first guy most people saw who had property damage because of that video that he made. Just a quick little video that got out there. He was probably the first one. And it's like this particular case is like an opportunity for, I mean, there are almost 32,000 people who donated to that. It's an opportunity for the truly voiceless people to say, this is how we feel. You know, we're unhappy about George Floyd and we're unhappy about what happened to you. We can't bring George Floyd back, but we can bring what you built back. And that's what we're going to do. And things like that, you know, maybe I'm a sap, but things like that make me happy.
Yeah, most definitely. I watched that story. I shared it out. And it was cool, man, to see that people were rallying behind this guy. And unfortunate that, you know, it happened to him. And even I'm seeing that play out. If you actually, you know, they were trying to, while they were shooting that video, these are being recorded by way of the local newspaper or media group. Like, people were trying to actively take the safe. Looters were coming to try to take the safe. They appeared to try to. It's like, I'm seeing that play out, and I'm so glad that people supported him. But that in itself should have dawned on everybody when they saw that happen. It should have dawned on everybody that it's not about Black advancement when it comes to this looting. They're destroying the property and they're destroying the livelihoods of people that are Black as well. And they're not making that. They don't care about any of that because they're being opportunistic, very bad people that are doing this, and they will continue to do it until they see some sort of consequences or feel that the consequence, the ultimate consequence, is something that might happen, which is why I'm in the process of actively, you know, making sure my folks are strapped and prepare themselves, because I don't see this ending any other way. But that situation with that man should tell you that these people will, it was not about that. Like, this whole idea that somehow looting is just an act of expression, because that's nonsense. They never cared about that. Your business can be big or small. They will come get you. They will attack you. They will do all of that. And you'd be a fool not to treat it as such. I thought that event right there should have been a defining moment for people that were on the fence, that thought that it was anything about, like, these were outliers that were just, no. They are destroying Black businesses too, which is the complete opposite of being conducive to resolving this issue. A Black man at that, who was trying to put his life savings into this, had his property destroyed. And thankfully, there are people that are donating this money to help this man out. But in the same respects, you're seeing that what they did not help this situation, and you will get caught in the crosshair, and you may not be lucky enough to have some news coverage so you can have a GoFundMe that get out and get your, like, project funded or something of that nature.
Yeah, exactly. He was lucky in that respect. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't have Hollywood celebrities promoting what happened to him. That was ordinary people. Hollywood celebrities are bailing out violent rioters. You know, that's what's been going on. All right, let's take a quick break, and then we're going to talk about solutions. Folks, tell me if you can relate to this. Email is a soul-crushing distraction for you, and it causes you anxiety when you can't keep up with it, and at the end of the day, you know you have more email you haven't gotten to, and then the next day it just gets worse, and you don't know how to get a handle on it. SaneBox's artificial intelligence monitors your inbox. Automatically, knucklehead email is moved to your Sane Later folder. All that's left is the important stuff. If you know how email folders work, then you know how SaneBox works. Find an email in the wrong folder, just move it. Nothing to learn, nothing to install. SaneBox works directly with every single email server or service that has ever been created. It also has neat features like the Sane Black Hole, where you can drag messages from annoying people you never want to hear from again, and Sane Reminders to ping you if someone hasn't replied to your email by a certain date. See how SaneBox can magically remove distractions from your inbox with a free 2-week trial. Visit SaneBox.com/woods today to start your free trial and get a $25 credit. That's SaneBox.com/woods. All right, I said we're going to talk about solutions, but looking at my notes, I have a couple things I want to add. Number one is, I'm hearing a lot of people saying, well, you know, property damage can be fixed, because after all, these businesses are insured. The childishness of this, these must be Bernie people, the way they look at the world. Like, there's some magical pile of money somewhere, which, by the way, seems to be the foundation of their opinion on everything. There's a magical pile of money that we can just go and seize. And so insurance companies are just magical piles of money. The two problems with this are, number one, there are some insurance contracts that exclude rioting.
Absolutely. Yep.
So the guy could be left with zero. And secondly, why, as an insurance company, with this kind of situation developing, would I continue to advertise the same premiums? The premiums could double, triple. There are some businesses that are so on the margins that they're barely getting by as it is. If their insurance premium becomes unaffordable, that does it for them. So the idea that insurance will just magically take everything away is unworthy of a thinking person. And then secondly, there are some people who just can't get out of their minds that when people are out there, peacefully protesting is one thing, but even rioting, well, you know, they're angry, they're consumed with a desire for justice, and maybe on some gut level, at least I see where they're coming from. And what they're not getting about this, and here I'm talking specifically about the outsiders, the Antifa people, who many of them aren't even part of the community. What people are not realizing is it is not a caricature or unfair in any way to say that there is a massive segment of the left that simply delights in destruction, period.
Yep.
Because they want to pull everything down. They delight in flat-out destruction. They don't care if it's a black-owned business. What? It's a business. That's part of the oppressive structures. They want to get rid of it. And I had Thaddeus Russell on the show not long ago, and he said,
awesome.
He said the left looks at capitalism as shopping. To them, that's what capitalism is. People with shopping bags going to a Dior store or something like that. They think that's what capitalism is. So when they look at all these stores, they see a Target. Yeah, to them, that's what they hate. Or they think people spend their money on frivolous things and they're not spending them on what they think they should spend them on. Mm-hmm. There's a Puritanism behind it, but there is a lust for destruction. I mean, if you haven't, all you have to do is look at the 20th century and the way the left took power everywhere. It was consistently marked by destructionism. So it's not some made-up thing that you and I invented. There are people who, they get off
absolutely
at stuff like this. This gets them off.
Yeah, no, that you're completely right about that. Like, these people just want to destroy any and everything that is in their way, and you gave them an out. And this is why it was so dangerous for this to be excused, certainly early on, and people justified, dare I say, because that's how they operate. They operate is in the idea that these sorts of, whether it be shopping, whether it be services that they feel are not what they, like you said, they're not spending money on what they think they should be spending money on. And they think that that's sort of the people that work for them and so forth. They think that that money's not being routed where it should go. Those resources are not being routed to where it should, where they believe that it personally should go. So anything about that is oppressive. Okay. So they want to destroy. It doesn't matter if it's as Target. That's the easy target because of how big it is and big box that it is. But when they're downtown or when they're uptown or when they're in the inner city and you have these sort of other businesses that are small that also have the same structure, which is just about every business, they want to destroy that too. And you've given them an out. And this is why they get off on it, because you've given them an out. You've given them an out. You've said, okay, yeah, this is fine because mad. And they're like, oh, well, I don't really care about that. I just want to tear it all down. So let's tear it all down. And you gave them an excuse. So that's why I'm saying that until people are mindful, and thankfully I've come out of this, and this, if there's any silver lining, I've come out with people that have reached out to me and said, hey, I've never owned a firearm. Where do I start? I'm like, that's the conversation that I want to have now and try to help people in that regard. And at least they are starting to forward thinking and understand that their protection is ultimately going to be on themselves. The protection of their businesses themselves, families, all of that is going to be ultimately on themselves. I'm sure you saw that one video of that white couple. I think the woman came out first, and those guys would just, you know, started beating up on him. The guy comes out, and she's getting beat up on. He has like a, I don't know what he has, like a crowbar or something. And it's like completely ineffective as they're just getting both beat up. His wife's getting, and I'm sitting like, there's no way that I'd ever be in that situation. And I don't want anybody else to be in that situation. That is a real situation that can happen. You are not safe in this regard. And you have to understand that ultimately your protection, you are your own first responder. And if anything, I'm seeing more people look into that and accept that as a reality. Definitely people that were on the fence about cops. And it's like, well, they're at least going to protect. No, they're not. They're standing around the corner. You see that in New York. They're standing around the corner as these businesses getting destroyed. And they on the other side of the corner, like just chilling. So you see what it is. You see it for what it's worth. And I hope people that were at least on the fence about that see that and are taking whatever effective measures to be properly equipped to defend themselves in the event that this continues to escalate and it gets to their geographical area.
I want to read out a short list. Well, each item is short, but I have 9 things that might improve the situation with the police. Before I get to that, I'll just say I could be very radical on this if I wanted to, because I favor privatizing everything. And I don't want to alarm people with my radical views. I'll just link them to tomwoods.com/1663, and they can listen to other episodes I've done on it. There's a great book called To Serve and Protect by Bruce Benson, talking about why the problem is you have a government monopoly running the police system. I mean, you know that would be bad in any other area. But for some reason, we think, well, you know, monopoly is probably the best thing for this. So how about we have, since I don't want to alarm people with radical libertarianism here, how about we just say this? What if we had a situation where each city or part of a city or neighborhood or whatever could contract out with a security company of their choice? And if that company yielded results like the police departments do today, they would not renew that contract, they'd get somebody better. Wouldn't there at least be some incentive for those police to get to know the community, to listen to their concerns, to adjust their policing process and all that stuff, if they knew there was a chance they might not be doing that next year? That's not even on the radar, and yet I don't see how that could get worse. I don't see how it could get worse. Let me read you a bunch of items, though, Eric, and you tell me what you think about some of them.
Okay.
This comes from a post by a friend of mine. I haven't asked her permission to read it, so I won't mention her name. But so here are the things. We need to do the following things. Demilitarize the police. We need armed defense and training for civilians and to repeal racist gun control laws. We need to repeal laws that create nonviolent crimes. We need laws that allow protection of private property. Vote in better local politicians and sheriffs who will uphold our rights. We need to sue whenever we can. We need to decentralize the police deployment where police officers live in the neighborhoods they police. We need police to buy their own liability insurance instead of the taxpayers bailing out their bad behavior. We need to disempower police unions by either refusing to negotiate with a police union or by renegotiating contracts that include provisions that erase disciplinary records and obstruct meaningful discipline, let alone prosecution, of police officers who abuse their authority. How does that sound?
That sounds wonderful. And I think that that's something that could absolutely be effective when it comes to, certainly can't make this worse in any way, shape, or form. Now, me, where I'm at with it, and I agree with all that. I think the sentiment here ultimately comes down to people have to be free to look at those agents, whether it be cops, law enforcement, and so forth, as individuals, not individuals with badges, special rights, as individuals that are providing a service. And that's not what we have. What we have is people look to them and they fear. People look to them and they're scared. People look to them and they are like sacred. Like we talked about over at the Blaze, if that was 3 men on that man with one on his neck, knee on his neck, and they were regular citizens, somebody would have probably jumped in. They wouldn't brought out their phones. They wouldn't have done any of that. They probably would have jumped in.
Yeah.
Not saying that they would have. But
much more
likely.
Yep.
Much more likely to jump in. But that's not what happened here and not what usually happens. It's stop, please, plead. They're pleading and nothing happens. Nobody puts their hands on a cop. Nobody bone rushes the cop. Nobody does any of that. They just sit there and watched it happen. And I think that that's what the issue is that folks look at them like they are sacred. And when in the event that they are wrong, even if it means, I mean, you're talking about like Chad, you know, Chad Prather was talking about when we were on the Blaze. He was like, that's like perfect example of tyranny. You're talking boot on neck. Like, that's not a meme. Like, we saw it. It played out. Like, what other instance, if not that, does a person step in and say, stop, or a group of citizens say, stop, and actually do something about it in the event that he doesn't stop? And I think until people understand that, and that comes with some of what you were mentioning, when it comes to laws regarding defense and why I think they need to be appealed, it especially needs to apply to them. It's like, if I protect myself against the reason why people don't step in, because they fear the consequences. And I don't even think it's necessarily the consequences of simply inflicting pain and then getting shot at by their own guys. I think, of course, that's part of it. But more so, it's like, if I'm successful and I go to jail and I go to prison for forever, like, that's not something that they feel is worth it to just save some man's life. And with that being, now, granted, again, you'd have a much more, you probably won't even go to jail, definitely out here in Texas, in the event that you defended yourself like that against them, against like a regular citizen. That's what I'm saying. But when it comes to the cops, everything's tacked on, everything's doubled. It's your word against, like, this you're in a terrible situation. And this is why I think it's going to come with a cultural effort as well as the repeal of those laws, but a cultural effort to see these guys as individuals, not guys that are superpowers, that have superpowers and are completely immune from suffering any sort of consequence from their behavior. They bleed just like you and me. And I'm not telling anybody, this is what I said on the show, I'm not telling anybody to go start shooting at cops. I'm not saying that you go do that. What I'm saying is, any event that you were defending yourself from a cop and it got deadly, or more so it got physical, even if it didn't get deadly and it got physical, I will always defend that man. The problem with the conservatives is that they had played for so long this just don't resist, fight it in court. He should have complied. That had been their attitude for so long. And that's not conducive to solving any sort of problem when it comes to that particular issue. So I think that people need to look at this institution for what it is. And also those laws, sort of like you mentioned, those laws need to get repealed that make it nearly impossible for you to defend yourself against people that have badges.
Well, I think what you're driving at is statism has this effect on people of making them think that the state is composed of people with magical powers that make them different from us. So if I were to observe anybody else behaving this way, you're right, I would jump in and do something about it. But when I see somebody in an official uniform, well, I've been taught since first grade about the importance of official uniforms. And I remember some of these people came to my school and we had cookies together and all this. And it just means submission. I see that uniform and my instinct is submission because, after all, this is part of an institution that was democratically elected and we chose. I mean, the whole thing makes people's power to reason, it suppresses it, let's say. So, you know, it's funny the way this conversation, I sort of expected, kind of went. We would horrify both the hardcore left and right in this conversation in one show. That makes it a great libertarian show. Talk to me about The Blaze and what your role is over there and what's the link so people can watch you.
Of course, you can go to Blaze TV, and I'm up here on multiple shows over there. Is basically what I do now. It's not necessarily any sort of like official thing as far as like a show,
right? But it's like Judge Napolitano. If you tune into Fox News, you're going to see him.
Yeah, he'll bingo. Right. That's exactly how it is with me. In which, you know, I appear on multiple different shows, radio, TV. And the thing I love about being over there, you can go watch it, be it on YouTube or you subscribe over at The Blaze to get like some of the behind the scenes, the longer segments and so forth. We'll really go in the more unfiltered version of it. It definitely, if we drop F-bombs and stuff like that, you can get all of that there. Now, the thing that I love about that, and this is why I pulled the trigger on that, I've been appearing on The Blaze as just, you know, if I was in the area because they're out here. And I was in the area, and, you know, Dana Loesch, she was there, or rest in peace, Doc Thompson was there. And I just appear on the shows and just, you know, talk about random stuff. The awesome thing about that was that it allowed me to vet them. And never once, and I tell people this all the time when it comes to this, this is why I went with them. Never once had they ever asked me to not say something. When we go into it, it's here's what we're going to talk about today. And that's it. There's no, hey, man, lighten up on this. Don't say this. None of that. It's, this is the topic. Say what you want.
Yeah.
And I've loved that. This is why I did it. And I am in a situation to have a conversation with people that don't always agree with me. And to me, that was worth it. Look, man, I'm over the whole, I used to do that, but I'm over the whole yell into an echo chamber with libertarians and argue with them all day long. Like, I'm over that. I am completely over that. Like,
you're preaching to the choir here, man.
Like, I don't want to sit here and have a bunch of conversations with other libertarians that I agree with 99% of the time, arguing and stuff. Like, I'm over that. Because what is that doing for us? It's doing nothing. It's doing absolutely nothing. Okay? And I, on the other hand, would much rather have a seat at the table that's leading the narrative. And I think that's the problem that libertarians have had, is that there's a couple of us sprinkled in. It's not enough. And some of these more large conversations. This is why I appreciate, you know, Dave, and, you know, he's going on Fox Business a lot, or Kennedy or something like, let's have a seat at the table where people are watching so they can understand where it is that we're coming from. I'm not going to sit up here and just have yelling echo chambers and have all these weird conversations with people that already either agree with me or are just folks that, you know, like the loser brigade.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
they're supposed to agree with you if they were actually libertarians. Like those, you know,
yeah, yeah. He's like those guys. Like, dude, screw those guys. Yeah. They're ineffective. They're not.
Yeah, each one of them has 15 followers. Why? Yeah. I smash them just because it's fun, but it's not like.
Yeah, same here.
The way I put
same
it once.
Here, like it's
I say to people, don't worry about them attacking me because, and I realize this makes me sound like an ego case, but I don't care. I said, it's the equivalent of throwing pebbles at the Washington Monument. You know, like, it's not really hurting me.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's the same. It's like whatever. My thing, I wanted to have a seat at the table when it came to discussing this with groups that, again, don't agree with me, because maybe I can influence it. I have. I go on there, I talk about Duncan Limp, and the whole table didn't even know who that was.
No, I bet a lot of people listening to this don't know who that is.
They didn't know who it was. They didn't know that this was a white man that was no-knock-rated and essentially killed in his sleep, and the cops have not been arrested for that. So I bring that up, and they're like, wow. But that's why I think it's important for us to have a seat at the table and be able to have those conversations. And because they know exactly where I'm at, all of those guys over there know the president, everybody knows I'm an anarcho-capitalist. It's not a secret. It's not like anything like I had to hide it or anything. Like, they knew. And now I'm on their round table discussions or on somebody's show, I get to talk about privatization of all things and teach people about what it is libertarianism actually is, not what they feel as if it is.
Well, the website again is it blazetv.com?
Yes, correct.
Okay, so we'll put...
Oh, it might be... Let's
figure that out. It might be Blaze.
Yeah, Blaze.tv.
Blaze.tv.
Yeah. It's Blaze.tv.
Got it.
If I'm not mistaken, may be incorrect too. Hold on.
Is Blaze.tv. I just went there.
All right. Yeah. I just want to make sure. No, that's not it. It's Blaze TV. Yeah, you had it right the first time. BlazeTV.com.
You're right. That's a completely different thing.
Yeah. Okay. That's a BlazeTV.com. All right. If you want to go there, you want to subscribe, BlazeTV.com. You can even try for free for 30 days and just fill it out. You can see all these different shows. And believe it or not, there's so many stuff you can get. And it's not just for a lot of people don't give them credit for having actually different lines of, you know, it's different. Like, yes, Crowder's there, but you also have like the Rubin Report. You have Matt Keeby, you know, on Liberty. You know what I mean? You have different people that are on different angles, that have different angles when it comes to just politics and stuff of that nature. And I'm bound to appear on pretty much everything. So just go there, blazetv.com, and you'll be able to hear me talk my noise and even, you know, maybe getting some arguments.
All right, terrific. So it is blazetv.com.
Yes, sir.
And thanks again, Eric, for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Tom.
All right, folks, a couple quick things. Tomorrow, we'll be joined by Dan McCarthy, and we're going to talk about the political ramifications of the rioting and looting, specifically that. What political ramifications, if any, will there be? Dan's been writing about that over in The Spectator. We're going to hash that out a bit together. And remember, go grab my free ebook, Your Facebook Friends Are Wrong About the Lockdown, over at wrongaboutlockdown.com. See you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.